Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for meditation today we find recorded in Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. And Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephatha," which means, "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." So far the text. In Jesus' name, dearly beloved of God, I think we've all experienced it. The satisfaction of a job well done. And you young people have a test at school that you really studied hard for, and the results are handed back to you by your teacher and you get an A. Sense of accomplishment you experience from that. "Yeah, I aced it." Or when you complete a fix-up project at home that's been on your to-do list for a long time and it comes out well, isn't there a sense of satisfaction you draw from that? Or at work, it's a gratifying thing about successfully completing a project you've been working at. On the other hand, it's also true, and I think we've experienced this, that even when we put forth our best effort on a given endeavor, it may not always turn out so well. You got some wrong answers on your test and don't get the high grade that you were shooting for. You do a fall cleaning project like washing the living room windows, but when the sun comes up in the morning and shines through, shows all the streaks and the smudges that you missed. You give it your all at work, but your perfectionist supervisor may still speak to you about picking it up and the need to improve. No matter how hard we imperfect humans try, we often do fall short of the perfect ideal. Not so with Jesus. As we read about his life and ministry in the scriptures, don't we notice how in every single instance, in every undertaking he set out to accomplish, which he put his hand to, the finished product was flawless and perfect in every way. In fact, whenever people saw the work Jesus did, they were struck with amazement and said, "He has done everything well." Man, isn't that truly amazing? Dear friends, Jesus continues to do everything well in his dealings with us, his believers, today. Let's talk about that for a moment this morning. Let's consider the Bible truth how Jesus, our divine healer, does everything well in his ministering to us, his patients, individually, compassionately, and powerfully. Now, I think we've all had the experience with doctors who have very good bedside manners. You could tell when they visited you in the examination room that they actually saw you as an individual person who was generally concerned to help. You may have also experienced the opposite, a doctor who came to see you and you sensed that you were to him like just a number in a long list of patients, and he couldn't wait to leave you to get on to his other work. Well, in the story of our text, the one thing that we can immediately notice is that Jesus, our heavenly physician, always sees and deals with us in a loving and personal way. In this instance, there was a man who was suffering from a twofold bodily ailment, non-working eardrums, and a broken tongue. And when the poor fellow was brought before Jesus, presumably by some caring friends or relatives, in the midst of a very big crowd, Jesus made the special point of taking him aside from the hubbub so that he could deal with this man individually. That's something we can notice about Jesus all along the pathway of his earthly ministry, whether it was the man born blind whom Jesus dealt with in a one-on-one personal way, or the woman at Jacob's well, to whose thirsting soul Jesus administered the water of life, or Zacchaeus of Jericho, to whom Jesus paid particular attention, man up on that tree, and then went for a personal home visit. Jesus always dealt with people as individuals whom he dearly loved. He knew this poor man was probably confused and frightened in that big crowd of people, sensitive to his feelings, not wanting to embarrass him in front of others, which is not an uncommon thing with people who can't hear so well, feeling embarrassed by the frustration of not even hear what people are saying to them. So Jesus led him to a place where they could enjoy some privacy and dealt with him as an individual. Jesus deals with us the same way today. And he always seeks to apply his personal healing touch to the hurts of our bodies and, most importantly, to the needs of our souls. He's keenly aware of all our hurts and heartaches and takes us aside to personally help us. How does he do that? There's a Bible verse in the book of Exodus that reads as follows, that in every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. Exodus 20:24. What this is saying is that Jesus comes to us and lends us his help and his blessing, his comfort and his peace, as often as we give attention to his word, where he teaches us all about what he in love has done for us as our Savior. We're not a number to Jesus. We're very, very important. That's why he came from heaven to redeem us in the first place. A couple Bible verses that also underscore the care the Lord has, the personal care. It's Isaiah 43, where the Lord says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created and who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you're mine." And in the Good Shepherd chapter, "I, the Good Shepherd, know my sheep, and my sheep know me just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." In addition to knowing us and ministering to us as personal individuals, Jesus also does so very compassionately. And we learn this from the manner in which Jesus helped the man in our text. Might not come across immediately when you read this story at first, might escape us, but it's worth noting that Jesus did not fix his hearing problem and speech impediment by just saying, "Be well." He did that on other occasions, it's true, but not in this instance. But he put his fingers into his ears and spit on his fingers and touched the man's tongue. What do you think Jesus was wanting to communicate to the deaf-mute man by following this procedure? Well, isn't it there's something very comforting about a person feeling the caring touch of another person? It's a well-known fact that babies who are held by their parents from little on as they grow up, touching their face, stroking their hair, and caressing them, that is very important for their emotional well-being as they grow up. It's also true with grown-ups, too. By the gesture of someone putting their hand on their shoulder, or stroking their arm or face, think about people in the nursing home, for example, family comes in and applies their loving touch to that elderly grandma or grandpa, they can sense the loving concern that their family member has for them. And so Jesus, he placed his fingers into the man's ears and upon his tongue, very likely to show him the loving concern and the empathy he had for him in his suffering. And Mark the evangelist also provides insight into the emotions of Jesus here, a glimpse into his Savior heart, by recording that sigh of Jesus as he looked up to heaven, by which he showed the man, I understand what you're going through, the suffering that you're experiencing. Even as later on he wept when he witnessed the devastation that sin brought on the world at the graveside of Lazarus. It pained Jesus very much to think about the havoc that sin wreaked on the world and the heartache it causes in the lives of people, both physically and spiritually, which he never intended to ever be. Jesus wants us to know that too, that he understands the pains we experience in our lives in this sin-broken world. And he sympathizes with our weaknesses since he experienced the same and more, which is why we can approach the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and help in our time of need. And we can be comforted to think how the Lord still agonizes over the results of the fall into sin and the physical sufferings it brings on people, including his children. He can say with joy with the psalmist, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. In our text, we also read, dear friends, how the Lord, he not only took the man aside so he could deal with him individually, not only that he revealed his compassion, his sympathy for the man, his understanding of what he was going through, he also then used his power to remove his medical ailments. You know, there are doctors that may have really good bedside manners, sincerely concerned for their patients. They carry out their doctoring work with great empathy, but their work falls short of perfection because they just don't have the ability as doctors to cure the heart problem of their patient or the cancer that their patient has been afflicted with much as they would like to. Not so with Jesus. He has the ability to fix all problems. We read in our text, he looked up to heaven and with that deep sigh, then said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And at this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. And mark and note it well, no halfway measures with Jesus. When he puts his hand to do a work project, he does it well. Not only does he enable the man to hear a little, but with perfect hearing, and not just the ability to mumble a few words, but to speak with perfect enunciation. Kind of like the lame man in the temple later on that Peter and John healed in Jesus' name. He not only was able to walk a little, he was jumping and leaping and praising God. Or Naaman the leper in the Old Testament, whom the Lord cured through the ministry of the prophet Elisha, his dry and flaky skin, we are told, became soft and smooth like that of a young boy. What comfort this gives us as Christians in our problems and needs, that not only does Jesus have perfect understanding of them, not only does he deal with a heart of perfect compassion, he possesses the ability as God's Son to help us, and always with perfect timing and in the perfect way. Even as he used his power to carry out to perfect fulfillment his assignment the Father gave him of redeeming us, his life of perfect love for his Father and us, obtaining for us perfect righteousness. Remember how at the start of his ministry, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work." And at the end, "I have glorified you on earth, Father. I have finished the work you gave me." And from the cross, "It is finished. My work as the Savior is done perfectly." He's the one also who uttered his ephatha, continues today to offer that ephatha to open our ears spiritually so that we can hear his Savior voice as he speaks to us in the Scriptures, and continues to use his word of power to enable us to use our vocal cords and our tongues to sing, "Oh, that I had 1,000 voices to praise my God with 1,000 tongues. My heart, which in the Lord rejoices, would then proclaim in grateful songs to all wherever I might be what great things, perfect things, God has done for me." Yeah, unbelievers would mock. They'd say, you know, if Jesus really does everything well, why does he allow misery and suffering to happen in the first place at all? But it's especially in such times that Jesus does everything well by enabling us, his Christians, to say with quiet confidence, born of faith, "We know that in all things God works perfectly for the good of those who love him, to those who have been called according to his purpose." What God ordains is always good. So let's praise Jesus. Let's praise Jesus for his perfect work in our hearts and lives. Let's praise him for that perfect righteousness he obtained for us, a soul that has been washed completely clean of every sin streak, so that we will pass finally into the perfect joy of heaven and will have then perfect understanding of all things that right now we understand only in part, and experience in living reality up close as never before. Jesus does everything well. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Joy of your salvation.